This morning we are back in Psalms 119. The verses will be 49 through 56. God's Word gives hope. And in this world in which we live, we need to know what that hope is, don't we? And we know that we can find it from the Word of God. I don't know about you, but as I've been reading through Psalms 119, 176 verses, I found more and more of what the psalmist, what he had dealt with within his life, and he wrote about it as God inspired him and gave him the revelation to write. Agor is the author of this particular one. But when we think about the hope that people are looking for, and when I was reading this morning, just to give you kind of a introduction of what I feel like the psalmist, which is David, and others that are part of Psalm 119, talking about the enemies that they encountered. And whether that enemy was people or nations or kingdoms or so forth that was against him and what he stood for and his belief and trust and hope in the Lord. Also, there's other enemies in our life as well. And that can be doubt or fear or any of those things that will distort or try to distract us from reading the Word of God. Instead of going to the Word of God, oftentimes when we need answers and we need to make decisions and so forth, we seek other avenues and so forth other than God's Word. And I've always found that I've always found what I need when I look into the Word of God. Now, read other books and other things, the devotional books and things like that, that encouraging and so forth. But when it comes to the revelation and the inspiration of knowing God's direct commands and so forth at the present time for when I really need them, the Word of God is where I find them. And Psalms is very much a part of my reading because it's very uplifting and encouraging each day. So as we look at God's Word, which does give hope, let's look at verse 49. And the psalmist says, let me get on the right page here. Remember the word to your servant. I like that. Remember the word to your servant. We're all servants. We're all ministers. But in which you have made me hope. There it is. You've given me hope. You've made that hope for me to come true. And then in verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived or renewed my spirit. Verse 51, the arrogant. So there that word is, the arrogant. So it could be people, or it could be nations or kingdoms that's come up against him, utterly deride me, yet do I not turn aside from your law. Whether they believe it or not, what he believed, true and living God, his faith stood firm. And in verse 52, I have remembered your ordinances from the old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. In verse 54, your statutes are my songs. Now, I like that. He was singing praises, songs to the Lord. And since we're in Psalms, that's what Psalms is. It's songs. In the house of my privileges. O Lord, I remembered your name in the night and keep your law. In verse 56, this has become mine that I observe your precepts. So looking at this, the psalmist, right here, he's declaring that his hope is received from the Word of God, which renews or revives his life. That's his hope. That's our hope. And it's so important that we keep the Word of God real close to us, near us, where we can just get a hold of it or read it anytime. Now, I know a lot of times this technology has become so convenient, right, that you have the Bible on your phone, it's an app that you can download on your phone. So if you don't have your Bible available, sometimes, you know, you can take your phone and read it right there with you. Now, all during the day, I've got mine set up where a verse or the verse of the day or something will pop up on my phone on the Bible, and I'll read it. Sometimes Brenda said, I think you got a text or something. I said, yeah, that's my Bible app. It's giving me a verse or something for that moment, and I like that because it's encouraging. Even though, you know, you're thinking and everything is okay, but it gives you a thought and something to think about all throughout the day. So here, the psalmist is saying, hope shines brightest in the darkness. And that is, that's correct. Even though the psalmist is afflicted, according to verse 50 that I just read a while ago, and scorned by arrogant, he is sustained. Hope sustains his life. And his hope is not of the world or in the world. Even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. So his hope is sustained by God, and he knows that. And then through God's word, he receives comfort. He receives that hope and the life that God has provided for him. So God's statues, it moved him to a song as a guide and direct him along life's way. So each day he is guided and he is directed by the Word of God. So he's anchored. His life is anchored. You know, Paul talks about that a lot in his epistles and so forth, that the Word of God is his anchor. You know, you think about a ship that, like, you know, if it stops, it needs to be anchored so the waves and the winds won't blow it. So that's the same thing in our life. If we're anchored in the Word of God, it doesn't matter the arrogancies of the world or whatever circumstances in the world, we are solid, we're anchored, we are steadfast where we are. Now, so through God's word, we receive that comfort, like the psalmist. We have that hope and we have life. So let's look this morning at three usages of the word remember. That's on your outline this morning. The first one is that we need to remember God's promises. And we know that God's promises are always true. And in going back to verse 49, it begins as a psalmist calls upon God to remember his word or remember his promises that he had made to him, which has given him the source of life in which to live by. You know, the Bible is full of resources. It is a source for our life. It's the source for salvation. It's the source to give us the spiritual motivation and everything that we need to sustain us in life. So God has promised to do good, to shower us with his blessings. And often thinking about that song, count your many blessings, count them one by one, and see what the Lord has done. Absolutely. You know, count. You don't just say, well, just thank you for all the blessings. Well, we ought to count them one by one. That way we will know how God is working in our life. When we count one blessing, yeah, and then move on to the next one. Because you know, if we share our blessing with others, they're going to be blessed as well, because it's, well, that's the blessing I was looking for. If you got it, God's going to give me that same blessing as well. So God has promised to work on behalf of his faithful children. And that's exactly what the psalmist is referring to here. So when we place our hope in God and remember his promises, guess what? The future is going to be much brighter. There's too much negativity in the world, isn't it? We don't need to focus on that. The world is negative enough. We need to think about the positive. There's nothing negative about the Word of God and how God works and his promises that he has given us. So the Word of God not only speaks comfort in affliction, according to the psalmist, it renews us in our afflictions, in verse 50. So, now, God, he comforts us, and we receive from God's word is one of the main reasons we cherish it, because of the blessings we see. Now, when you think about what the psalmist is sharing with us here this morning, God's promises stand for you. They stand for you, and we can stand by God's promises as well. And he strengthens you. He gives you the grace to rejoice even in the face of suffering and loss. You know, that's what helps us. It should increase our faith. It should make us stronger, knowing that God's promises are true. And see, that's the real victory in tragedy. Knowing, as the psalmist says, hey, you got my back. You got me covered. I know that I'm secure in you. And in the psalmist, you know, you could see and you can feel and understand that there's things going on in his life as they do in our lives, and no matter what the circumstances are, his hope is in the solid rock of salvation. Now, let's look at the psalmist says, remember God's actions. See, when I think about God's actions, we have the whole Trinity that covers everything that we do in this life. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit, they are active. They're always involved in our lives. In verse 51, it says, even though the arrogant scorn, that's what the verse 51 says, the psalmist has said, even though the arrogant scorn, the psalmist still remains, has faith. He is determined to follow God's word no matter what. No matter what happens in his life. No matter what happens in our life. No, doesn't matter how this, how tough this life gets, or how the direction that our nation or our country or the world is going in. You know, you hear all kind of things about the earth coming to an end, or the wars and the destructions of all of that stuff. This world, or no nation is ever going to destroy what we have here in this world. God is in control of all of that. You believe that? Amen?
Yeah.
He is in control of that. And you hear about nations coming up against nation, and you hear what the news says. But see, like the psalmist, if we are strong in the Word of God, it doesn't matter what happens, he is in control, and God will have the final say-so. And that's what's encouraging to me. When I hear stuff on the media or the news and so forth, I say, that sounds pretty bad. But when I go back and read the Word of God, you know, and read like Psalms 119, 8 and 9, where it says the word is settled in heaven. So when I read through all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and I see that God has a final say-so in everything that's going to happen in this world, That is our hope. That is our comfort. That is our peace. And so don't let the things of this world, we're concerned about things that happen, the things on a daily basis, the shootings and things like that that takes place. It's devastating to us. And those who commit those such crimes as that, they will get their just due. They will get a righteous judgment that God will give one of these days. But until we need, as Christians, keep our heads looking up, pointing towards heaven, looking at the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who paid the penalty for sin. And it goes all the way back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve committed the first sin, and now we are a part of that sin that continues on and on and on in every one of our lives. But still, God is in control. And sometimes you might think, Pastor Mike, there's a lot of things going wrong. Maybe you don't know. Yes, there is. There's a lot of hidden expectation within our nations and our worlds and our governments and things like that. But nothing goes unseen that God doesn't know about. Amen? He knows everything, and He's going to control those things, even that we don't know about, and He will work them out for His benefit. That's His promise. Now, let us be certain that the divine decree that we believe belongs to Lord Jesus Christ. Then not let anyone succeed in turning us aside from the Word of God. And that's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter what happened or what people do to me. I mean, they may stone me, but they may pierce me, whatever they do, but nothing will turn me from my belief in the Word of God, is what the psalmist is saying. So the psalmist's faith and hope are sustained by remembering the record of God's past actions in verse 52. So He said, your law stands. Eternal past, it stands from old. And we can take that promise as well. So when we are in the battle of our faith, and we are in battles of our faith each day, you think about that. The things that we're confronted with, the things that we face in this life, our faith is always tested. But we need to remember what God has done for us in the past, and what He will do in the future as well, and as for others. So we should never doubt in the darkness what God has revealed to us in the light. And when I say in the light, now you might think, well, this is daylight, but I'm talking about in the darkness of the world, the sins of the world. But God always shines light. He always reveals those things. Nothing is hidden from God. So when we see the blessings of God and the promises that the psalmist is talking about here, everything is always revealed with God. So never doubt in the darkness what God reveals in the sunlight and from His Word. God's Word reveals everything to us. So looking in verse 53, it defines the wicked as those who have forsaken God. Maybe at one time, I believe, but do they have that personal relationship with God? If they had that personal relationship and they are grounded in the Word of God, they would not be coming up against the psalmist or the world or speaking naught of God's promises to us. So the wicked make themselves enemies of God. And that's what the psalmist is saying to us this morning. So they are guilty of rebelling, according to the psalmist. And if you go back to the very first chapter of Psalms, it talks about the wicked. But it talks about those who are on God's side as well. So the wicked here is defined as abandoning God's revelation. Whatever has been revealed to them in the past or in the present, they have abandoned it. They no longer even consider God's word as a source for their life. But the psalmist says, no, it's always going to be my source. It's always going to be my direction in pointing me to the cross of Jesus Christ, the hope and the peace that I have in him. So when you think about what the psalmist is saying here this morning and speaking to us and speaking to my heart personally as well, when man determines that God's law is no longer an authoritative, it should cause sorrow and constructive action. And to me, this great horror should drive us to our knees when we think about the direction that the world might be going in. But yet, we as Christians, we have the power of prayer. And it should drive us to the knees and say, Lord, we want to intervene for people like this. We want to plead on behalf of the cross, that some way, somehow, their hearts will be changed, that they won't be so indignant or arrogant against your word or against Christians or the world. But Jesus himself says the world will persecute you, those who follow me. But you know what? That's okay with me. I'd rather be persecuted for the cause of Christ than to stand before God one of these days and say, oh, I didn't stand up for you. I didn't stand strong. I didn't show my convictions or share my testimony where I stand. And I pray to God that each one of us will look at that. It will bring to us knees and say, you know, Lord, they may be your enemies, but you still love them, and we are to love them too, and we are to pray. And that's what the psalmist is doing here this morning in our scriptures. He's saying, you know, they still, I pray, they have the hope that God will change their lives as well. So now, let's remember God's character. You know, the Bible says that we are made in an image of God. Isn't that great? Now, we don't look like God, you know, but God's what? God is what? Spirit. When we worship the Lord, we worship him in truth and in spirit. But we are to have the characteristics of God, his holiness, his righteousness, just everything about God. We are to imitate that. That's why the psalmist says, remember God's character, because God stands for everything that is good, because everything that God has ever made, he called it what? Good. Everything God does in this life is good. He allows bad things to happen. He allows things to happen in our life. But in Romans 8:28 said God works together for the good of those who what? Love him and called according to his will. So see, the scripture covers it all, doesn't it? It covers everything. So if you find something negative in this world, God's going to find something positive to erase or annihilate that thought. See, the doubt, that's what I'm talking about. Doubt and fear and things can be an enemy to us. Just as the psalmist had other enemies that was combating against him, we have enemies as well. So don't doubt. Always trust God in that. So you see, we need God's songs or hymn songs, and song or literally means psalms, to comfort and sustain us along the way. So I know I've shared this before, but when I was a little boy, there was a lady up the street, Miss Reeder, and she was always planting a garden or out in the yard doing something at least a quarter of a mile up the road. And she was always singing Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art or something. And I would say, Poppy, listen to Miss Reeder up there singing. He said, yeah, she loves the Lord. And I said, yes, she does. So she was singing because that's where she found comfort in her daily journey or pilgrimage with the Lord. And you so it just echoed across the land, and people could hear on the water. If you're on the water, on lakes, that's a good place to, for sound to carry. Bud, you know, you and Brenda know that. You know, you can be on a lake and you can hear somebody talking right down the lake from you in a boat or on the side, because it travels. How it travels is amazing. So that's uplifting. Always at the time that you always need to hear things like that. So we must obey God even when we don't feel like doing it, right? When we don't feel like doing it. You've heard me say that before. Even when you don't feel like doing it, do it anyway. So we will discover more and more that keeping His laws brings joy, peace, and a sense of excitement in our lives. And also, the name of God communicates His being, His character, His power, and His presence. So the psalmist made trusting and honoring God's own holy name the practice of his life. In verse 62, that it points out here this morning. So he sums it up by stating his comfort, his hope, and a renewing flows keep the teaching of the Lord. Now, if we could remember that very same thing, that His comfort, God's comfort, His hope, renewing flows of God's teaching in our minds, keeps us sustained. That's what I'm going to think about this week as I stand before those kids and pass this on about the comfort and the hope, renewing of our faith and passing that on to others of those that maybe are not a part of a church or part of a community, a Christian community, that they will see, hey, this is real, and we're passing it on to them. See, it has come to pass and been verified by the psalmist's own experience. And his own experience testifies to me, you know, that God was with him. So in conclusion here this morning, the psalmist overcomes his afflictions caused by his enemies, and whatever our enemies is, it could be a Goliath type enemy, which is fear, doubt, or misfortunes or something like that, by remembering God's word. So, God's word is our comfort, our guide in every circumstance. Always remember that. God's word is our comfort, our guide, our direction in any circumstance in this life. If you haven't faced it yet, there will be a time that we will face exactly what the psalmist is talking about. And for those that are guided by God's word, may be with boldness, make it their promise and their plea. When I think about boldness and what the psalmist is talking about here, I think about the disciples. When in Acts chapter 4, where when the people that saw the disciples, they saw that they were unlearned. Even though that God had called them to be disciples, they looked at them as unlearned men. But when they looked at them, they saw something different about them that was different than anyone else. And the scripture says it's because they had been with Jesus. Jesus had changed their life. And even though they might not have the education and everything, the law of those Pharisees and those point their fingers and say, yeah, they're nobody. But when they saw that they were with Jesus and he had changed their life, you see, that's the difference. It doesn't matter what the world means or thinks and so forth, but it does matter that if we're with Jesus, that makes all the difference in the world, and the world's going to see it as well. And so the Word of God indeed is powerful. It did for the author of Psalm 119 what it would do for you and me. See, it gave him life, it gave him comfort, it gave him courage, and it gave him hope, and it will do the same for us as well. I've said this before, books can inform us, but the only one that can make a difference and transform our lives is what? The Word of God. You, like myself, have probably read a lot of books, but nothing has changed or transformed my life like the Word of God. And I want you to think this morning. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. And I've memorized a lot of verses over my life. And I want you to think this morning, what verse in the Bible has changed your life? I can name a number of them. Isaiah 40:31 is one, right? Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and mount up like wings of eagle. You know, I can go on and on and on quoting scriptures that have changed my life. And you think about that. If you don't have one particular, you think about it this week. Because something in the Word of God that you've read or you've come across has changed your life. It's pointed you in a different, in a new direction. You think about that this week. Then what verse could you show to someone else who needs to understand? Whether it be the gospel or something in their life where they need that transformation. You think about that you can share. And I like to share scripture with other people. I share scripture with anyone who has a question about the Word of God that pops up into my mind. And if you memorize scripture, I promise you, when the right time comes and somebody approaches you about something or has a question, the Holy Spirit say, you remember that scripture you memorized? That's the one for them right now. It happens. It's happened with me, and I know it has happened with you. I've talked to many of you that scriptures that you memorize or that you've read come across at the right time for you to share with someone else. And you see, that's the revelation, and that's the inspiration of the scriptures, how God works. And that's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things that we have already done and talked about and will reveal to you in the future of the things to come that will make a difference in your life and will transform your life. So you think about what scripture has changed your life, and what scripture that you can come up with or think about that can help someone else in their life as well. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your Word. It speaks so powerfully to us. And the more that we get into the Word individually and read it and search it, your Holy Spirit will reveal and transform us in such a way, Lord, that people will recognize, hey, that person has been with the Lord. Many things in our lives, Lord, that we're confronted with, many things in our lives that we encounter each day. But Lord, when we encounter your Word and read it and study it and you reveal it to us, nothing is better. And I pray this week, Lord, that all of us here and those maybe listening live will think of some verses that changed their life and they can share that with other people. And just keep on reliving and allowing that scriptures to live through us, to help us transform us, to help us understand that, Lord, you're at work, that your character always stands true. You never change. Willie one needs to be changed. It needs to change for the good. Lord, I pray during this invitation, whatever your Holy Spirit is revealed, Lord, that we will act upon it and move in your direction. Lord, we thank you for the promises you give us. And Lord, we thank you for the understanding that you give us through your word and through prayer as we communicate and as you communicate with us your will, your purpose for each day that we serve you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.